Amen. I want to begin by sharing from Romans chapter 8. There's two verses. These are very, very popular verses. You've heard of them both. And I just want to do that. And then the rest of our message this morning is going to be really an exegete of these verses, these words that are being said. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29, you guys know them, but let me go ahead and just read through them. It says, "And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purposes. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Guys, these verses talk about God's work in the lives like Danny, these other ministers, these 700 pastors that we support, missionaries across the world, pastors throughout the United States and across the world. As we are called, we know that God orchestrates things in our lives to help us grow, to open up doors and sometimes close doors, so that he'll direct us on the path that we have and he'll work things for his glory, because he wants the church to expand. He wants the people who are condemned to eternal hell to come in to the family and have eternal life. This is his purpose. This is his goal. And this is what we're talking about when we're dealing with missions across the world in various places and in dangerous situations. You see, we have to take our Christianity seriously. And that's really part of the thing I want to say this morning. Now, my parents, back just a few months ago, 3-4 months ago, they were in a head-on collision on a small two-lane highway. It was a 55-mile-an-hour highway. They were actually on the way to the veterans. My dad's almost 80, and so he was having like a anxiety and a panic attack and all this stuff. And so they were headed to the VA hospital down there. And someone coming into town, they lost control, went up the hill. Maybe they were texting. There was a berm right there. They hit that and then shot them across the freeway, and they hit my parents head on. And my parents called me on the phone, and my mom was crying. She's like, "We're alive, we're alive, we're alive." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" I didn't even get it. And they said, "We were on a head-on collision, and we're on our way. We're in the ambulance. We're on our way to the hospital." And I said, "I'll be right there." And so I grabbed my wife, and we went over there. And it was very interesting to be there, but they were doing great. My dad broke his thumb. My mom, like, strained her neck. But the stress is really what got him. They're still haven't fully recovered from the accident, but there's no major injuries from there. But being their son, I got the privilege of taking them to all their doctor's visits and running them around. And I'll tell you, this was very encouraging for me. You know, I'm a missionary. I've been serving the Lord for a long time. My parents, through this situation, realized that there is no amount of days. We have to live for the Lord today. And so when we're in the waiting room, they're sharing with people, "Oh, can I pray for you? What's going on? You know, Jesus loves you." We're in the elevator. "Oh, can I pray for you? You know, Jesus loves you." We're walking out of the hospital. "Hey, can I pray for you? You know, Jesus loves you." Anyway, as we're doing life, this is now their new norm, is they want to tell everybody about Jesus because they understand they have this much time. They have this much opportunity, and God has given them this situation to wake them up. And I'll tell you, as they're walking with the Lord, I'm encouraged. I'm saying to myself that I need to live and tell people about Jesus Christ everywhere I go. This is something that God wants us all to be involved in. We understand the scriptures. You guys know the passages. You know, Matthew 28, 19, and 20. Make disciples of all nations, right? Go into all the world. Make disciples of all nations. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them all things I've taught you, lo and behold, we always seem to the end of the world. I kind of scrambled that a little bit, but we know that word. He says, go, make disciples. I mean, that's really the key, is making disciples, not necessarily going here, but in Mark 16, 15, he says, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Like, this is the heart of the Lord that we're doing it, and we have the opportunity. Not everybody has the ability to get up and go. We know that there are different callings and different workings and so forth. Let me read another passage to you just to kind of conclude this thought so we can move on. But in Romans chapter 10, there's a couple verses here. I think it picks it up in verse 11, if I can keep skipping that page for some reason. Verse 11 says, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek. For the Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14 goes on. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are feet of those who preach the gospel of peace to bring glad tidings of good things. Listen, God has a plan for the church to get us involved in the ministry. And really, if we're not going, we're sending. This is what God wants to do in us. And there's tons of work to do across the world. Now, me and my family have been in Russia for about 9 years. Just under 9 years, we were there, and we had an incredible amount of freedom. We came at a great time in history where the door was wide open to the church, and we did so many different ministries. I'm going to share about those with you today, but the Lord has now opened up a new opportunity for us to serve in the former Soviet Union in the Republic of Georgia, and I'm going to come back to that in just a minute and share some more ideas as we conclude our time this morning together. But while we're in Russia, the Lord saw fit to use us in so many different ways to affect the people. I'm not going to be able to even mention all the ministries. I'd love to share more if I run out of time, but there were opportunities everywhere. I remember one time, this became such a big part of our church plant there. My interpreter, I had an interpreter, her name was Natasha, my aunt, my kids, ended up calling her Auntie, you know, and so her name was Auntie, it's Totia is what they called it. So they just called her, they didn't even know she had another name, actually. But one day, you know, she was sick, and so my wife went with her to the women's hospital. And, you know, they were sitting there, and they were watching, and there was this young 15-year-old girl, very pregnant, pacing the halls there, and they began to talk with her about the Lord and talk to her about these things. It turns out that her aunt and her mother were there, and they forced her to have an abortion. They made her drink, you know, she's almost full term, they made her drink some medicine that would actually kill the baby and then put her into labor, and she would give birth to a stillborn baby. And this was very difficult to watch as they're sitting there and doing this. And they came back, they shared, we began to pray. It broke our hearts. We began to research. We came across some statistics. I'm not going to get too much into that, but a low statistic and a high statistic was 60 to 72% of children in Russia are aborted. They never even make it. This is an incredible number. And so, you know, we said, well, what can we do, Lord? We asked them to open the door, and we walked down to the local hospital, and being the only Americans in town, you know, we kind of, it was a time when everyone was open to Americans. Americans were great. It was really cool, and everybody wanted to know us and all that stuff. But I asked, can I meet with the director? And I ended up meeting with her, and I said, hey, you know, we understand the statistics. She goes, yes, that's right. You know, she goes, I do abortions, but I have to by law, and I hate doing them. I said, well, you know, Arena, we want to mount a TV right here over the room where you do the abortions at this hospital. And I was at the mini hospital. They go up to 7 weeks, and they did abortions here. And then we want to go in the main hospital where they do full-term abortions after 7 weeks to full-term. And we want to mount a TV right where in the room where the ladies are laying. And we want to share the love of God, forgiveness of God, the grace of God. We want to share that the baby's alive. We want to share with these women. And she said, go for it. So that day, we had the TVs mounted, and we started twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, every week in there preaching the gospel. We touched hundreds of women, if not thousands. There were only 9 beds in the big hospital, but the room where they did the mini abortions, there would be like 20 or 30 ladies. Now, I don't know how many people we've actually affected, but we know we saved at least 15 babies that we know of, but there have been numerous people who've got up and walked out, left, didn't come back, and we were there for every abortion day, so it was pretty heavy, an intense ministry, and I believe the Lord used this. Not only did people walk out, we understand, but also people showed up with kids, 2 years old, 3 years old, hey, I'm here because of you teaching this day. It was a very fruitful, but the gospel was being preached. This is probably the most fruitful part of the ministry. I mean, there were so many different facets, but hundreds and hundreds of hundreds heard a very clear presentation. They were kind of captive, but praise the Lord for that opportunity. As we continued, doing this ministry, I remember a story of a Victoria. Well, I'm kind of opening up early, but Victoria's out there dumping her trash in this area. And Russia is designed; it's all built on apartment buildings. You got one building; it's probably either 5 or 14 stories tall, and it has 5 entrances and like 4 apartments on a floor. You know, it'll have 1, 2, 3, 4. And then there's one trash area. It's just a number, and it's usually a really gross place. But anyway, she was out there dumping her trash one day. A lady walked up with a 2-year-old kid on her shoulder and said, "Hey, thank you for sharing." You know, I mean, that's just one of the many, reports that we have about that. And it just so happens, as we continued to do this ministry, it actually closed at the end of 2016 because of some laws that were passed in Russia. And the hospital was no longer able to work with a foreign organization, so they stopped her doing that. But Victoria continues to do ministry, and she has an incredible story. Let me just share a little bit about Victoria, because this is really neat how the Lord kind of opens doors. She was in Tajikistan. She didn't have any relatives alive, and she had met some guy. He got her pregnant. They had a baby. After the baby was 2 weeks old, he left. He moved to Moscow. And so she was stuck there with a two-week-old baby. Well, she ends up selling all of her furniture and moving to Moscow to go find this guy. When she found him, he had another woman. You know how that goes. Deadbeat guy or whatever. So she's looking for a place to stay. She finds some work. She has this young girl, and so she would go to work. This would never fly today, but she would go to work, and she would run home 3 times a day and check on her baby she left at home, and she'd go back to work, and that's kind of how she did it. As the time progressed, she was looking for an apartment from the government. The government ended up giving her a free apartment in a small town on the other side of Russia, and that's a city that we moved to, and she moved there the same month we did. To do the church plant and begin the ministry that we were involved in. We met. She became part of the church. I watched her grow leaps and bounds. She came to the Lord. She became mature in the Lord. She ended up taking over this ministry. This was an incredible time. I think her daughter was 8, Elisa, and I named actually one of my daughters, Eliza, after her, because we still are in great contact, and I'm really blessed to be part of them. But anyway, they continued, and the Lord really opened up the doors to do this type of ministry, and we were so blessed to be part of that. But this is one of the ways that the Lord opens doors. As we in the city that we're in, they would gather in the square. They called it the square. It was really a circle area with benches around and the fountain in the middle. But this is the hangout for local people. And so everyone would come through there, and they'd take their lunch break or whatever, and they'd sit down for half an hour to an hour and drink or sit and walk around. It was just an open place in front of the administration building. And so we would go there almost every day, and we would have tracks, and we would have a guitar, and we would have like frisbees, which they didn't have in Russia, so it was a really cool attention getter. And so we'd just throw around the frisbee and play guitar, and people would come over, and we'd share the gospel. And then at one point, as the church grew, we'd just go around and all to all the benches and share the Lord with people. It was a very fruitful time and a great time of ministry over there. When teams would come, this is one of the places we'd always go to this area and share the gospel, because this is where we were able to meet the people and hang out with everybody. But one day, there was a young kid. His name was Ilya. He was out there playing with my kids. He was the same age as my older boy, and he stepped on a piece of glass, cut his foot open real bad. And so Brittany, my wife, says, "Hey, where do you live?" And he points at this house. It's just a few houses down away from the square or the circle, whatever you want to call it. So Brittany ran over there, and she banged on the door. She's calling. Hey, finally the mom comes out, and he says, "Hey, your son got hurt. He's on the square." And so she grabbed a 2-month-old baby, ran out there, saw her son, handed my wife the baby, took her son and ran to the hospital, and we're standing around there like, okay, now what are we supposed to do, right? We got this Russian kid, and we don't know anything about them, and so we just stayed there. She came back a couple hours later, and we began to minister, and of course, just the fact that we were there to hold the baby, I mean, it just opened up an opportunity to share. Their house was literally falling apart. Most of it had collapsed. They lived in one room in the wintertime that stayed warm. They didn't have any water. They didn't have any electricity. They didn't have any an indoor toilet at all. It was probably one of the worst places you can imagine. I would go over there and have tea with this family. For the next couple of years, we'd just pour into them. We'd bring them to church. I'd drive, pick them up or send a taxi for them and all this stuff and bring them in. And I would put them up in the wintertime in an apartment building. This went on for a couple of years until one day, she came banging on the door and says, hey, no one has ever loved me like this. I need Jesus. And we ended up leading her to the Lord. They become part of the church. Today, she has 3 or 4 kids. She's a stable mom. But, one of the very interesting things about her is they were so poor that she prostituted herself to make money for her family. That's what she did. And the Lord brought her into my life to experience something new and deep and deliver her from this lifestyle. I mean, that's incredible. Like, the Lord wants to use us in people like this to change them, to build them, to give a future and a hope, and to pour out his love in their life. And this is incredible. If we're willing, I believe God will do these type of things. I remember walking around the city in Kalchugna, the city over there, and we met this young kid named Misha. I think he was 13, 14 years old at this time. And he has a terrible story. He actually witnessed his father kill his mother and commit suicide as a young kid, and he lived with his grandma. Very difficult, extremely poor, hated authority, was always in trouble with the police, caught up in drugs and drinking and all this stuff. And he was so consumed with Americans and who Americans were when we got there. He just wanted to hear everything we had to say. So he'd come over. I ended up leading him to the Lord, sharing with him. He goes, he would say, I don't care what other people think. I want to hang out with you guys. I want to know Jesus and all this stuff. And he ended up being so incredibly fruitful in our ministry. What he would do is, we're the only Americans in the entire city. And after a couple of years, everybody knew who we were. And so people would say, hey, what's going on with those Americans? He goes, come on, let's go over there. So he'd grab, 5, 6, 7 teenagers and bring them in. And they'd come in and they'd have tea. And so the first thing I'd do is I hand out Bibles. Boom, boom, boom. Let's open the Bible. This is what I'm doing here. And I'd share the gospel with these people. Over and over, almost every day, he would bring a new group of kids into my house, and I just shared the gospel with so many people through that. God, as we walk with the Lord, God opens doors and does things. And Misha today, he's trying to, he doesn't have any connection. His there's all kinds of problems in his life, but he's struggling to walk the Lord. He's living in Moscow, working hard, trying to get his life together, going to church and so forth. Another one of the opportunities that we had is we went down, there's a big factory. The word Kalchugna means rain mill. And so they have the main industry of this area was a steel factory. If you look up Kalchugna on the internet, you'll see there's a steel factory there even today. But they had, at this point, I think they had around 3,000 workers from a small city. That's a big plant. And so it was coming up to Christmas. It was cold. We got about 1,000 New Testaments, 1,000 pieces of chocolate, some invitations, and we planned some events. And we stood out front and we handed out gift bags to every employee when they got off work. And literally, it was an incredible ministry as people were just blessed to receive a gift and the New Testament and so forth. As we're trying to reach out in the community, we're seeking opportunities like this where we can get the gospel out there to people. We had some events to follow up and invite people to. But as the church grew in that city, eventually I had to come up with a discipleship program. And this program was really designed to help people become founded in the Word. I called it the Essentials class. You guys probably have something similar here, or have had in the past, or will in the future. But it's just going over the tenets of faith. And then I had a second step and a third step as they kind of graduated each section. And I did this for a while until the whole church ended up going through this program. And as I continued to do ministry, and do these type of things, there's a main city in Vladimir that had 400,000 people, and they kind of got word of what I was doing. They said, hey, come here and do a discipleship program too. And so I ended up designing a kind of a college. We called it a Bible Institute, very similar. And we were affiliated with the Calvary Chapel Bible College here in Marietta, California. And, we ended up, teaching. Pastors went through there. People went through there. It was a great success. And it was a privilege to be able to invest in people's lives and minister and do the ministry and teach about the ministry. And what the fruit, at that time, I was just doing everything and I wasn't thinking. But today, the people that I ministered with and ministered to, they're in Mexico. They've been to Cuba on missions trips. They planted churches in various parts of Russia. They left Vladimir, their region, as missionaries to come under another pastor to assist or plant new works. To reach out to kids and do different things. And like, I'm just watching this and I'm blown away at what the Lord is doing. And it's not about me. It's not about what I can do. And it's not about what you can do. It's about saying, Lord, you can do it. And here I am. And I believe when we do that, God really steps it up and begins to use us in people's lives. And he is effective in doing that. I remember another story on this line is my interpreter, her name was Natasha. She was with me. This was the lady my kids called Totia, or Auntie. And one day, Wes Bentley came, he came out there and we had a teaching and I ended up giving it to her. She listened and said, I want to be part of that ministry. And she ended up leaving us, and then going with Wes. I was kind of mad, but I understand, like, the Lord does that. And she was useful. She went into Africa, and she spent a few years out in Africa. She's back in Russia today, and I'm looking forward to, getting over there and working with her in some different ministries. She has a bunch of things she's involved in. She's still a missionary with Virgin Ministries, now back in her hometown, which is, very useful for what's going on. But we, our family is headed to Georgia. It's the Republic of Russia. And there is a tremendous amount of work there, and the door is wide open right now. And the Lord, I've been trying to get back in Russia for a couple of years, and he's shut doors and said, hey, you're not to go this way, you're not to go this way. And then here's Georgia, wide open. We've met significant people, important people in the culture to help us assimilate and so forth. And so this is the direction that we're on. Right now, there are some serious things taking place in that part of the world. And this is a new endeavor for far-reaching ministries and a new branch of the Ghost Ops. We're going to be the first missionaries of far-reaching in that part of the world. And we're very excited about that. But what is going on in this part, I want to kind of share my heart with you, is that, just like in Middle East pastors and so forth, they're out there, they're teaching the word, they're living by faith, and they're trusting God. When you go to any country, anywhere else in the world, there's always dangers. There's always going to be persecution. There's always going to be challenges. And this is the way that it goes. But this part of the world is unique because of the visa laws. Refugees from everywhere are flooding in. I think there's over 100,000 Iranians that have moved there in the last year or so in this part of the world. Some of them are Christians looking for the opportunity to worship God and live out their Christianity. Some of them are not. They just want to get away from all this evil and violence that they're experiencing in their own country. There's people from other parts of the world coming here. And there's unreached people groups in the mountainous region because they're located right on the Caucasus Mountains. It's a huge, huge mountain range through there, and there's all these villages and homes and these people that are up there just waiting to hear. This is truly a melting pot in the world, and it's flooding with these type of refugees, which gives us an opportunity to do some great work over there. Now, these people are obviously looking for hope, and they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in order to receive what he has for them. We know what God wants to do. We know he wants to bring them in and minister to them. So this is a great opportunity for us. And I'm hoping to connect with your church. I mean, without visa, it just knocks off a huge cost for missionaries short-term even to come over and visit and so forth. The location of this ministry is huge. It's located right on the Black Sea, so it's kind of mild temperature. There are just so many different locations to build in, unique needs that you know, are new even to the church. I mean, just the things that are happening. Like I said, there's a large number of Kurdish people as well. Some of these guys come from a Christian background, but most of them have their own folk religion or their you know, they have a like a pagan connection, and so these are another a group that we can meet over there. Of course, we have the Georgians themselves. I mean, not to overlook that. And there's an area of Georgia called Abkhazia, which is right there. And this is an extremely pagan place. It's closed off because they went to war with Georgia. But when you go in there, you know, they are, you know, they're poor, to say the least. They're propped up by Russia, but they are open. And I've spoken at several churches over there. I've done conferences in that region, and they want us to come. And I have an honored citizen of that country that has said, hey, come under my protection, and we'll get some things done in this area. And so this is kind of what we're doing. But what we're about, you know, is, again, serving the Lord, preaching the gospel, reaching out. And the date of our departure is approaching. We're leaving October 1st, and we're going to be moving over to Georgia permanently, or on a permanent basis. I mean, who knows how long we'll be there until the Lord shuts the doors. And we don't only need your prayers, but we need you to partner with us in that part of the world. And that's kind of one of the things. You know, there's a lot of finances involved in doing this. And we would love to have you guys become part of what we're doing. You know, and right now I have on the back table, you probably saw the table, I have some dossiers out there. These are of persecuted pastors, most from Syria or Afghanistan. You're welcome to do that. But also on the form, this is the form. It's real simple. Just fill out your information and you can check a box and fill in whatever you want to do if you want to come alongside of us. And this is my name over here. If you want to do the pastors on this side, but we just take checks or credit cards, whatever's comfortable for you. Please come over and talk with me. And sign up if you're interested. Just grab a clipboard and start filling it out. And, you know, I just want to just say thank you guys for letting me come and share about the ministries that are taking place across the world. Don't forget to pray for our family and really missionaries, especially in the Middle East. And I want to thank you for the time you give me. Yeah.
Pray for you.
All right, great.
I tell you, if you're going to do missions, you might as well do ghost offs. Right. But do you understand why they do that? You can't know about these. When I was trying to find you online, he said, I want to come and share. So I'm like thinking, he's probably shared places. I can find it online. You can't. Because you can't be public. You don't want to have a digital footprint when you're in an area of the world where they're looking for you like that. So it's, you know, underneath the radar. This church that's going on in these countries that you don't hear about on the news. All you hear about is the big events, but all these ministries in people's lives and these things that are going on, huge ministries all over the world. So Lord, we come to you and pray, Lord, for your anointing upon them. Lord, as they take this huge step to move their family, all their children with them, over to Georgia, Lord, to look at avenues getting into Russia again, and they're in Georgia. And we just ask, Lord, that you would anoint them. We ask that you would direct them. We pray for your wisdom. We pray for your provision to them and all the other ministries that are going on in far-reaching ministries, Lord. So pour out your spirit upon them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.